I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 13.
Genesis chapter 13. We are going to look again at another incident in the life of Abram. And it's been a couple weeks since we've done this, but last time we looked at Abraham's trial in Egypt there, where he was tempted to go there and then be a little bit deceitful. But then the Lord being merciful to him and bringing him back out. And then we see there in chapter 13 where he recommits himself in verse 4. But then there's another incident here, another test that comes up in his life. That has to do with his nephew Lot. So I'm going to begin reading in Genesis 13, and I'll read verses 5 through 18. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt, take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, After that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. In 1783, Revolutionary War was coming to an end, but the troops of the Continental Army in America, not happy. The mood was running low. They were upset that they hadn't been paid, and there were rumors that were spreading as to what they could do about that. One particular officer named Louis Nicola began to write a letter, circulate that, and the letter suggested that the Continental Congress's actions had exposed the weakness of all republics and that certain disaster would fall unless General Washington would be declared king. General Washington, George Washington, found out about the plan. And he wrote a letter of response to this particular officer in which he said that it was a foolish idea. He denounced the scheme as big with the greatest mischiefs that can befall my country, he said. Later on, there was a meeting that was called of officers to threaten to disband the army if they didn't receive their payment from Congress. General Washington again found out about the plan, called a meeting of all the officers, and rebuked them for not being patient with the Congress, waiting for the time when they'd be able to pay. One particular author noted that in these circumstances, who can imagine that the liberty of millions might depend on the character of one man? What was it that gave General Washington the strength to do the right thing when the temptation to do something less noble must have been overwhelming? Imagine that. George Washington, came very close to being able to take the power for himself. And I hope it was true faith in the Lord that enabled him to do that. But in here in Genesis 13, we have another scene of the life of Abraham, and he too is confronted with a choice. A choice to take something for himself or to rely on the promises of God alone. And what we see here in this chapter, I believe, is an expression of Abraham's faith that plays itself out in the choice that he made. We see here what a choice that is motivated by faith looks like. And we see, first of all, that that choice that's motivated by faith is a selfless choice. It is a selfless choice. At the beginning of our passage here in verse 5, we are reminded about the wealth, the increased wealth that Abram and his nephew Lot had. And we read about the conflict that they enter into. No doubt because of this wealth, there are these herds that they need to feed, and they're in competition over, it seems, the food, the pasture land for these herds. And so Abram's men and Lot's men begin to fight. And we see Abram here making a selfless choice. What does that selfless choice do? First of all, we see that it seeks to defuse the conflict. Abram does something about this conflict. He sees this conflict as not a good thing, and he's concerned about that. We see in verse 8, he says to Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." We're relatives. We're related to one another. We shouldn't be doing this. He saw that relationship as something that was worthy to be saved, and so he set about to defuse that conflict. And then we see that selfless choice in verse 9. What does it do? What does Abram do? He defers to the preferences of others. Selfless choice defers to the preferences of others. Think about that choice that Abram made to allow Lot to choose where he might go. You think about what Abram could have done. He could have said to Lot, "Now, Lot, you listen here. God gave me a promise of this land, and I'm not going to let you interfere and take what you want. I'm going to choose it. God gave it to me, and you go where I don't go." But that's not what he does. He gives Lot first preference. He gives him the preference. He allows him to have first choice wherever he wants to go. And we see here in Abram's choice, a selfless choice, which demonstrates his faith. His faith in God allows him to be generous. He's not clinging to what he sees as rightly his. "This is mine. I'm not going to let you have it." No, no. He sees the promise of God. And God can take care of that. And I don't need to be greedy with what I think is mine and hoard everything to myself. No, no. A choice that is an expression of faith is a selfless choice. "Lot, you go first. You take what it is. You take your preference first." And we see here an example of a man who is diffusing the conflict. And I think that's how a lot of conflict is diffused. "Here, you take your preference, and I'll take what's ever less." That's not how conflict is always diffused. Some things are worth standing for. But probably in the majority of conflict that we face, we can make a selfless choice. We can do that because of our faith. Because we have the promise of God to provide. We don't need to be greedy and hoard things to ourselves. Make a selfless choice. And then we see another choice that is really a contrast with Lot's choice in verses 10 through 13. We see Lot making a choice for himself, and we are reminded of how he makes that choice in verse 10. "Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere." And so we see a second characteristic of a choice of faith, which is the opposite of the way Lot chose. Lot chose by what he could see, and only what he could see. He sees the land, and it's a good land. This is what I need. This is what my cattle need. This is what my herds need. I choose this. But I think we could call the opposite of that, the choice that perhaps Abram made, is a blind choice. A choice that doesn't have to rely on what is seen, but what is unseen. Abraham sees things with the eyes of faith here. Lot sees things from a human perspective. And so, a blind choice, a choice that sees with the eyes of faith, not with the physical eyes, we see that it relies on God's provision instead of whatever appeals to you most. That's what a blind choice is. It relies on God's promises, things that cannot be seen. We see Lot basing his choice purely on the visible. There in verse 10, he lifted up his eyes. He beheld. He sees things. But then we have this reminder here in verse 10 that even what is seen may be short-lived. What did Lot choose to do? He chose to go to a place near Sodom and Gomorrah. And we have this reminder here before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 10. Things that we see may be short-lived. Choices that we make purely because of human reasoning may be gone in an instant. Just like they were with Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed them. They're gone. So this particular choice relies on God's provision instead of whatever appeals to you most. Then in verses 12 and 13, we see that this choice seeks to avoid sources of temptation completely, instead of getting as close as possible. Look at verse 12. Then Lot, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Then we have this description of that city. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And so we see that Lot's choice was a choice to that got him closer to a sinful city, that got him closer to sources of temptation. And knowing what we know about Lot's life, we see that this was really the first step in his gradual fall. He pitches his tent towards Sodom, and then a few chapters later, we find him right there in the city, dwelling right there in that sinful city. He should have been seeking to avoid sources of temptation completely instead of getting closer and closer. So Lot makes a selfish choice, and it results in the greatest mistake of his life. You know, Christians today can be guilty of doing something very similar to what Lot did. We can make choices because of financial reasons alone, living in a particular place because of the benefit to our job, but maybe not even thinking about what possible temptations there might be or possible restrictions there might be on our spiritual life. What about the church? Is there a church to go to? What about the places where our children are going to be? How does that choice affect that? Sometimes we need to take our eyes off the things that look really good to us and make a blind choice, a choice that relies on God's provision alone instead of whatever appeals to us most. And then we see in verses 14 to 18 that this choice that Abram makes is a rewarded choice. It's a rewarded choice. The choice of faith is a rewarded choice. And in verse 14, notice what the Lord says. The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. We see these same words repeated to Abraham. The same thing that Lot did. Okay, the Lord says, now Abram, Now you can do that. Now you lift up your eyes. You look all around, because all of that land that you can see, I'm going to give it to you. So he rewards him visibly. And then in verses 15 and 16, he promises that land to him. And in verse 16, he promises descendants to him. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. So he rewards him audibly. And then in verses 17 and 18, he invites Abram to take a tour of that land. Verse 17, arise, walk through the land. Walk all throughout the land. This is what I'm going to give you. And then in verse 18, we see him going to this place near Hebron, where he takes up residence. And this particular location is the location near where Abram would eventually buy property there. He buys a burial ground there. This is his land, given to him by God. And he's rewarded. That choice that he makes is a rewarded choice. Imagine what must have been going through Abram's mind when he tried to deal with this strife between his servants and Lot's servants. I'm going to lose out. If I let him have first choice, he's going to choose the best thing. And then where am I going to be? But we find that Abram didn't lose anything with that choice. He didn't lose anything. God comes to him and says, look all around. I am going to give it to you. Abram lost nothing with that choice. Abram lost nothing. Choices of faith may often look like choices to lose out on our part. But if they're really choices of faith, they're really choices made because of our reliance upon God's provision alone, those aren't choices that we lose out on. God can provide. We never lose out when we make those choices of faith. So every day you and I face choices, all different kinds. What do those choices reveal about our faith? If we really have faith in God, in God's promises to provide for us, we don't need to be selfish. We can be generous, just like Abram. We don't need to rely just on what we can see, what we think is logically going to happen. We don't have to rely on that. We can make a blind choice, not just a random choice, but a choice that sees with faith, not with the eyes. And that particular choice, this passage shows us, is rewarded by God. That's a choice that is rewarded. So let's determine with God's help to make the choices that are motivated by our faith, by our trust in the Lord. Shall we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for the faith of your servant Abram and for the example that that is to us. Help us, Lord, to make choices that are selfless, that rely upon your provision, not just what we can see or what seems best to us from a human perspective. And help us to leave it with you. Leave the results with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and turn to 180.